Hey everyone, welcome into this episode of the Art Wonk Podcast. I'm your host Neville Parker, and this is episode 38. And this is going to be another one of those shows where we play an interview from the New Zealand collaboration. Tales from Collab are interviews with collaborators that were recorded in Whangarei at our 2021 collaboration event. And really, the idea of playing these in this show format is something that I'm getting some questions about. People are saying, why are you playing an interview with collaborators in a marketing show? And the simple answer is, because I can, I guess, but mainly because I believe that marketing, if it's done well, you have to know where your place is in your community, where your values lie, what you can and cannot do in the way of expressing yourself, how you're going to go about making those connections, etc. And collaborating is the most incredible way of fast-tracking that conversation. And I don't mean because we all sit around and talk about our businesses. We do a bit of that, and there's so much help and support and information comes out of a collab. But what actually happens is people value you. They reflect back values you don't even know that you have by getting excited about skills you take for granted or learning something that you didn't expect to learn from watching somebody else process an idea. There's a whole lot within the collaboration movement that is really good for bringing your business brain to the boil and getting your creative sense of self fulfilled, but also acknowledged, getting a community feeling around yourself. And if you work at home on your own or in your studio without a lot of contact with others, it's easy to get isolated. So I'm a big fan of collaboration. And the joy of collaborating is you can be introverted and collaborate. You can be shy. You can be withdrawn even. I've seen people who've collaborated from one room and everyone's come to them because they struggled to step out. The idea is that you work with others to make joint goods. And those goods aren't necessarily always about art. They're about sharing and a journey and laughter and joy. And sometimes they're serious and they mean deep things to the individuals. But they're always about communicating and community. And that's what we do when we market. We try and find ways of connecting with our community, with our market. So I believe there's value in these shows, and I'm really excited to bring them to you. So Wendy Nephilim, what does Wendy do? Wendy is a weaver extraordinaire of harakeke, of flax. And she's incredibly generous in how she takes us on her journey with her and sort of shares with us how she's got to where she is today. And I especially love the way that she's engaged in exploring cultures, different cultures than her own. So without me raving any further, let's have a listen to what Wendy has to say. Hello there, I've got Wendy with me. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
So your full name, please?
It's Wendy Nephilim.
And what is your medium of choice?
Yes, my medium of choice is harakeke, New Zealand flax.
Ooh, lovely.
Yeah.
And so this is not your first collab either, is it?
This is now my third collab, yay. So I'm starting to know how they run, but yeah, it's new every time.
So the harakeke is a passion because you like the whole process, or what gets you into that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I started just weaving little flowers because, you know, that's all I heard. And I heard you could actually do wonderful things with it. And then I went to a weaving wānanga and I was kind of pretty much in love from there. So it's the smell. I've had to learn to love the process because it's quite laborious and time consuming. And so it just slows me right down. And I just love the smell of it, love the feel of it. Just love the versatility of it, I suppose.
It's an incredibly versatile plant, isn't it? There's so much, but there's also a whole lot of cultural significance. And, you know, from what I've learned about the way the Māori would harvest, so much of it's about sustainability. There's a lot there.
It really fits in with our thought processes of today. So I grow all my own harakeke, and so it's all organic, which fits really well with my kaupapa right now. I just find it fascinating that suddenly you've got a green plant that grows and then there's this whole art form that has developed from it. First of all, out of necessity, but then once you've got your necessities covered, you can then start thinking about wonderful things to do with it, and that's, I think, very inspiring, yeah.
Yeah. I had my first experience making moka,
and lost most of the hair off my thigh from, you know, the girl. So it was great fun making me do that because it's quite a demanding thing, but it's beautiful fine fibre, isn't it?
And I think that's probably, since I've learned to extract mukha, that's definitely my area of passion because it's quite a surprise every time you extract it. It's a lovely white silky thing and you can't imagine that it comes from a green plant that just grows everywhere.
So for the people listening who won't have struck any of these terms because they haven't, we're talking about what is almost a silky type of grade fibre that you roll or I'm assuming rolling is the right term, to make a very fine twine. Would that be fair?
Yeah, so every piece of flax does have fibre inside it, so you have to release the fibre by peeling it. It's like a sandwich, a fibre sandwich, I suppose. You peel the green part off and then you peel the skin part off and you get this lovely white silky fibre. It's really, really thin, so you can break one individual strand of fibre, but when you roll it or middle, is the term that we use on your leg, hopefully not a hairy leg.
Not for long.
then it becomes a really, really strong fibre. And you can make that as thin or as thick as you like. So it's been used for cordage or for stitching or for making korowai, which is the cloaks. It's also very warmth giving. So, yeah, it's, again, a really good thing to be able to produce just from nothing, really.
And the cultural significance is, well, in the far north here, it's alive and really vibrant and wonderful to come up and see it because down south it's there, but it's not as evident. You found that layer. How's that been to navigate? You enjoy just that sense of tradition? I'm answering a question, which is really bad, so I'll ask that differently.
You're second-guessing, that's all.
Well, I'm trying to find my way into your head, which is probably the best way is through your words, so I should ask it better. So are there other elements of working with flax that interest you? Has it been a full experience?
I think for me, working with flax has sort of grounded me into New Zealand. So I'm from overseas, so I moved here 15 years ago and I'd never really created anything or I didn't have a medium, I wasn't an artist, I just spent all my life working really. And so it's really helped me to integrate into the culture, to learn more about Māori culture and all the things, just a different way of looking. So we're talking about sustainability with the flax weaving. That's incredibly important. You know, when you harvest a bush, you don't just go and pick the best leaves and just abandon the bush. You have to, you know, make sure that you care for it so that when you come back to it next time, it's healthy and thriving. So that's really a key element. You can't, it's not just about the taking, it's about you giving too. So it's a, you know, it's a synergy between you and the plant. And yeah, like I say, it's helped me to really feel back to nature, back to New Zealand. It's helped me really to connect with the whenua, the earth, in ways that I probably didn't even know that I could do.
It really is such a versatile medium that it gives you obviously life lessons as well. How does it fit then? Well, you got all that. That's a gorgeously wrapped up summation, but you then come to collab where we're often forced to compromise or to sort of stretch the limits of what we do. Is it as versatile in this environment or is it time consuming? How does that work?
Yeah, I think because it's a time consuming element, I think you're always sort of looking for additions, you know, perhaps shortcuts maybe in sort of the way that we go through life. We're always looking to make things faster and quicker and more efficient. So actually collab's been great because working with somebody that makes wooden objects or metal objects or any other medium, you're sort of, you've got the basis and the structure, whereas in when you're weaving, you actually have to create the structure. You're joining, like flax weaving, I guess, is a kind of a joining of other mediums. And that's something that collabs has taught me, is to look outside of my medium and see where the synergies are. And basically, if somebody asks me to collab with them, often I just say, well, look, just make a hole in whatever it is you're doing and then we'll be able to weave onto it.
That's great. So you've been studying as well different, what are you studying? Can I say, this is tiredness kicking in. It's awful.
It's all good.
I know where I want to go.
So what am I studying? Currently, I'm actually studying flower arranging.
Oh, wow.
I have studied carving for kairo. And that was more or less to get more understanding of Te Ao Māori, so the Māori way of doing things or the Māori world. Yeah, and also to sort of push me out of my comfort zone. I didn't want to go and study weaving because, why didn't I want to study weaving? That's a good question. I didn't want, I say to myself, I'm not going to be a master weaver ever. I'm not Māori, so I can't be a master Māori weaver. I've also started late in life and I'm actually really happy with that. So like I say, I'm less of a weaver, more of a harakeke lover, I suppose. I love the medium.
Don't forget the word artist, because what you do is gorgeous. I mean, I know art's personally defined in lots of ways, but there's this point where you take it from being what's expected and turn it into something that's a revelation and a joy. And you've been attached to some magical works like that. So for what it's worth, we see you as an artist.
Well, thank you. It has been a long journey to get myself to that point as well, just to be able to say I am an artist, yeah. Because I'm an accountant, and that's quite a long way away from being an artist. But yeah, that's what harakeke has brought for me, is actually changing my own perception of who I am and what I can do.
So how does an accountant find themselves in collab working in flax?
Yeah, well, the accountant goes travelling.
Yeah.
After working in corporate for 10 years and deciding that there's got to be more to life.
Always is.
Always is. Coming to New Zealand on said travels, then working in India for a New Zealand company for a couple of years. On the travels, meeting meeting a man,
right.
Moving to Switzerland to be with said man.
Okay, this is going to be quite a journey.
Yes,
yeah.
Quite a journey. Going back into corporate because that's what one can do.
Yep.
Nothing. You couldn't really earn much money as a tour leader, which is what I was doing in India. And then I said, okay, well, if we're going to marry, you have to know that I want to go and live in New Zealand at some point. And then after 7 years of Switzerland, we came to New Zealand. But we neither of us wanted to be carrying on with our corporate jobs in New Zealand, so we had to look at what that was going to look like, put together a business plan, and decided that we would run a tourism business.
Oh, wow. So you end up with that multicultural view of the world already, and now you're engaged in a new culture here and bringing or marrying the two together?
Mm. Yeah, it's. I realised being an accountant, the thing that I didn't enjoy about accounting is there weren't many people in that business, and so I was missing the people aspect. So, yeah, that's how come we came here and we decided on the tourism business, which didn't quite work out how we expected it to, because we got to Whangarei thinking we'd set up a business taking visitors around, and then when we actually moved here, somebody else opened up exactly the same business.
Sometimes that, I wouldn't call it a lucky thing, but things just happen like that. You got to adapt. So
yes,
you ended up studying again?
No, we just morphed and basically what we have a business where we support people who are moving to the area for work. So we call it a relocation company.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So we relocate people, not boxes.
There's other people do that, but
yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So we help them, you know, find places for their kids, harp teachers and all sorts of weird and wonderful things that people need when they move to a new country. So that's the business. And we wanted to create more time being self-employed for ourselves to do our things that we enjoyed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's how flax weaving started, really.
So you finally got to that place where you wanted to be after quite an effort. And you had to slightly reappraise what you're going to do in it. And so was the flax weaving kind of a rewards sort of way of going, or just you were now completing the circle?
Yeah, I think it was more about a creation of space in our lives.
Right.
So before we were just corporate and work, and we occasionally go on holiday, but there was not much space left. But moving here was about creating more space for us as individuals to try and just enjoy life a little bit more. Most of that was about travel because we both love to travel.
Yeah, something we're all missing a little bit of now.
That's right. But, you know, there's other ways to travel. You know, you can travel through looking at your old photographs or having discussions with people. Where do you come from? What have you done? Everybody's got a great story, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just got to ask the right question.
So my next question would be, I've now got Wendy the Weaver in New Zealand finally. She's happy. She's got some space. How did you find collab as a place to play with that skill base you were developing? Were you fully formed as a weaver when you came here first?
Yeah. So the reason I first came to my first collab is that there was another friend and a mentor who was coming to collab, and suddenly she couldn't make it. So I got a phone call on Friday morning. Can you go to collab? Because I can't make it. And so Friday afternoon, I arrived with my bundle of mukka and a few bunches of flax, and that was it.
Did you know what you were getting yourself into?
No, I didn't really know anything about collab at all.
So we now have Wendy the weaver unsuspectingly stepping into the middle of this. I mean, this is quite a culturally, it carries its own sense of self. Was it a good move for you? You've done three, so we know it's obviously
so fit. I like it. Yeah.
And it likes you, because you generally won't get the second invite if there'll always be a problem that makes it so you can't get here.
True.
So what was it about it that just kicked off for you, that thing?
Well, it definitely has the people element, which I'd obviously been looking for previously. And the whole collaboration part is very inspiring. You know, there are different ways to collab. I was a bit nervous to begin with. I didn't know how to collab. But because I came as a resource artist, I figured, well, I've got to provide my resources to everybody. And I kind of made it, I wanted to provide it to everybody. So I just wanted to put as much weaving and mukka and harakeke into as many projects as I possibly could, just to sort of challenge myself, really.
That's how I got to meet with you, because you were so open in that area. And, you know, as I think generally the place does work that way, people are generous, but you have to do an awful lot to get the flax to the point where we were then given the resource. So I knew that there was a lot of effort there, and you were so generous with it that I never felt like there was an obligation or whatever.
Mm.
So we've got this thing going on where you have this international view of what living in the world is like, because you've done it. Has that been a benefit when we've got so many people coming and going from around the world in a more traditional collab than this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody enjoys the international element. You know, they bring knowledge, culture, openness. I think people that travel or have travelled or like travel are sort of very open to whatever is here. So I think they want to learn. So most people that I've collabed with, they actually really want to learn about the fibre and what it is that I'm doing. And that's very inspiring, I think. And it goes the other way around as well. So it's not just a one way, you know, the things that you can learn as it increases your perspective, you know, opens up your ideas or your thoughts or the possibilities.
So is there any one thing within your toolkit or within your world that if there was that horrid fire idea that you would grab that's attached to your art? Have you specialised tools or anything that makes that, you know, I can't go without that?
I would probably grab my piece of poenamu, which I use to soften my harakeke.
Oh, you use stone to do that?
Yes. And that comes from another artist. And again, these ways of getting these things, they just come randomly to you. So an artist asked me to do some flax baskets for him to store some of his poenamu, and I said, yep, sure, no problem. So again, it was a giving without expecting anything in return. And he said to me, oh, you know, thanks so much, but look in the scrap basket and see if anything calls out to you. And there was this piece of poenamu that looked great for softening harakeke. So I just asked him if I could have that. And since then, it's my precious.
Precious.
Yes.
I have the silly little hammer. The listeners will be sick of hearing about it. But it's just, you know, when something fits your body or your process so well that it becomes such a simple extension of yourself, I understand that.
For me, it's about the synergy from the land. So the harakeke comes from the land, the poenamu comes from the land. I also use a mussel shell to extract the fibre, the mukka, and it just seems to work so much better than hard objects.
Right.
When I first started, I didn't have all these special tools, so I used to just use a knife that, you know, I'd sort of found at the bottom of the drawer. But it's just, it really speaks to the whole natural element of, and takes you back to the earth, really. It's a very grounding thing. And I feel very grounded through using those objects. And it just looks so much better. You just get so much better result from those synergies.
I suppose really when you look at any of those types of things that are traditions that have been built over time, they've solved all the problems. We modern people, inverted commas, have a tendency to think we can do it better, but sometimes actually, no, this is good enough. It's the right way.
And I think it's a medium that really just, it pairs away all the unnecessary things. Yeah. You can really... You can use lots of tools if you want to, but actually you don't need to. Yeah, it maybe speeds things up a little bit, but do you get a better result? For me, what I've found is if I slow down and take the time, that's when I get the result.
For me too, as a reflection of the world you're working in, the fascination I have is I work with an angle grinder a lot, which is a kind of an antisocial machine. You've got your earmuffs on and your glasses and a spinning thing throwing sparks everywhere. Where you guys have this lovely, I mean, the fibre tent is always this place of joy and happiness. There's laughter, there's sharing, there's a lot of storytelling. Something's fascinated me. You come in, you don't want to leave because you want to hear the end of what's going on. It is a very social thing. So now I understand more why, you know, that looking for people, you found a perfect medium for you in that sense.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's an expression that, you know, you don't just weave the material, you weave the people.
Yeah.
And it's really true what you say. You know, when I go into the wood tent or the metal tent or anywhere there's a machine going, I find it very yeah, it's difficult for me because I'm used to having that sort of quiet, or not necessarily the quiet, but the space in order for us to share our stories and to have a joke and to be a bit silly. And yeah,
we do the same, but we may be inclined to use a lot more non-verbal ways of doing it. You know, the way people stand is either closed or opening, so you know whether you can approach. It's just a different language because we're forced into it by the environment. But Your way suits me because I'm a lippy guy and talk a lot, so I want to go play with them. So just two more questions, because I know we've got an awful lot going on around the place. A lot of the traditional crafts that women have done, whether they're done as a craft or as an art form, the fibre arts are often devalued or undervalued. How does harakeke and flax weaving sit within that? Is it a recognised thing that you get good acknowledgement out of?
I think... a lot of the weaving used to be done by men. You know, most men would know how to extract mukka. They'd go to the beach to go fishing. They'd whip up a net or a pipi basket for collecting shellfish or whatever. So it's not just a sort of a female art form. And there are more females doing it these days than there are men. I think it's not necessarily as recognised as we would all like it to be.
Yeah.
Because it's such a time-consuming art that's often deemed to be expensive for what it is, if we were talking in the commercial world, right. Because we're talking about hours spent making, you can never, you know, claw back the hours. I'm sure it's the same for many, many artists.
When you've got the unseen effort too, you know, it's one thing when people can see it's in the work, but so much is done pre-work with prep and that.
Yeah, well, the prep is a huge part. Yeah, I think up north, I think it's quite well recognised.
Yes.
I think the further south perhaps you go, it's not as well recognised, but, you know, there are weavers all over the country. You know, there's a big movement, I suppose, to going back to more natural forms of dyeing, just taking it back a notch, really, and taking it away from all the sort of lurid colours that we can get. Yeah, and it is valued, but it's probably a small world, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're a niche within a niche within a niche within New Zealand, which, you know, we're a little place as well. So you've got yourself here. You've obviously got incredible skills and have been well-loved and wrapped in the family. Is there any specific advice you give to somebody who's out there thinking, my art form is maybe a niche, or... I have been an accountant. I'm not an artist, but I want to be. Is it from your perspective, when you look at that journey, anything that you'd say to people in terms of how to go about this thing?
Yeah, I'd say just if you like it, just do it, and don't worry too much about what you're going to call it. It's just, if it's fun and it gives you satisfaction, then that's, you're on the right track already. Where that goes, don't worry too much about giving yourself a label and, you know, squashing yourself into a hole, because that's when the creativity comes. you know, when you've opened up, when you leave yourself open to other opportunities, when you mix with people who have a like-minded way of doing things, doesn't necessarily have to be the same medium. Yeah, an experiment. If it's fun, just do it. If it's not fun, then why are you doing it?
Well, that's been my argument. And, you know, if I want to do something and feel miserable, I might as well do it for somebody else and earn real money. You know, it's not always the most lucrative pathway, but it enriches, and you've got to work out your value system.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be miserable, why do that to yourself?
Well, life's too short, really. And as we get older, we realize just how true that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if you can, if you have that opportunity to be able to do something that you enjoy, well, then, you know, I think that that's the pursuit of happiness, which is far more valuable than money in the bank, really.
Yeah. Or if you can leave the room with others smiling and feeling like you've just been a good thing, then, yeah, you're on the right track there too.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what happens when you leave the room. Not that I'm saying you should, but it's always been a joy having you around. So thank you so much for today.
Thank you, Neville.
So there you have it. Hey, thank you, Wendy. Really appreciate that conversation. It was really enlightening to see how you've made your way to our wonderful collab family. So thanks for staying with us, those of you who are still here at the end of this wonderful show. Please make sure that you like the podcast, tell people about it, share any links that you can find, and generally, you know, comment or do whatever it is that you can do to help us. We're not asking for money. We're not advertising. We just want to be able to get the message about collab and about looking after our businesses out in front of people. This has been Neville. Take care.